everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, is this correct? 80 degrees for the high?
Today?
Yeah.
Predict highs, yeah, low 80s, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, we've got a few days here, mid-80s.
Yeah, and this happened last year, too, we had that fluke early 100-degree, it was like 100 degrees in like around April 20th for about 5 minutes. Jen Lesher is here with me in studio. It was about 5 minutes, but it went into the record books as 100. But then we had nice cool weather for a while, like we're doing now. But it will show last year and this year as some of the earliest 100 degrees ever.
Just in time for us to start moving the closets. You know, you put away the sweaters, you get comfortable, and then bam.
Yeah, I've put the sweaters already. They've already been folded up back in the cedar box, so the little bugs won't be able to get them. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Friday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2023, my wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Jan. Did I perfect day, Cinco de Mayo. It'd be hard to forget that one. We're on 1030 KVOI, the voice for trusted news and talk. In our 13th year with our radio project, and let's see, you're 35 on TV and radio here in town. And I think I met Jan Lesher maybe 35
years ago.
we have our worldwide live listening and podcast of the show at buckmastershow.com. And I am very proud of the fact, Jan, that we've got at the website, and it's easy to use, the content goes back to that first week in January in 2011. Included that week was one of the last interviews that Gabby Giffords did. We interviewed Gabby that Thursday before the Saturday tragedy. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I've already introduced Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher. Let's bring in our friend Dylan Smith on the live line, editor and publisher and founder of the now 14-year-old online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is president of the Arizona Press Club. He's a past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion is an acronym for Local Independent Online News Publishers. Dylan, how are you?
I'm doing great. So, Bill, you've been doing this show for 13 years on the air for a large chunk of the last century. Are you going to tell us how long you've been married?
No.
Call me Dylan. He told me when I asked. So
you can. I think Ann would.
Kudos for Ann for putting up with you for such a long time.
I tell you, I posted a couple of interesting pictures. One was from that really great 5-year anniversary trip. The picture was taken in the Fiji Islands.
Oh my gosh,
that was one of the best trips ever. But the ground we have covered together is
just amazing.
Everywhere. 100 countries, Australia to Zimbabwe. But now we're at the point, Dylan and Jan, where do you go next? We're at the stage now, we'd like to go back to places.
And it sounds like for that 5th anniversary trip is a good beginning point.
Yeah, anyway.
And keep posting it on Facebook, Bill, because some of us live vicariously.
There'll be some pictures coming up starting next week, because actually Dylan will be seated, I hope he's going to be seated, in this chair next Friday as I begin.
I almost forgot about that, sorry.
Thanks, Dylan. That gives me a lot of confidence. So I'm actually going to be off the air for about 3 weeks as we travel to the Caribbean, a couple of islands we like that we are going to go back to. Jan, my goodness, a year and a half since Mr. Huckleberry's really devastating accident on a bicycle in downtown. That was in October, about a year and a half ago. Luckily, you were ready to step in, which you did. And how is Mr. Huckleberry doing?
Well, Bill, thank you for asking. I actually saw him briefly yesterday, and he's doing very well. He's not back up on a bike or anything yet, but he's also being honored this weekend. No, that's not true. In another week at the University of Arizona graduation, where he will be receiving an honorary doctorate. So a nice remembrance of all his extraordinary work for this community.
He put together so many budgets.
Oh, jeepers. I know. Where's he
Let's
now?
Let's see. 40 plus years.
Yeah, that's right.
But a lot of budgets. So last fiscal year, the fiscal year we are wrapping up was your first full budget for Pima County.
Correct.
So now you've put together your second spending plan to begin July 1st, and some of the details were released this week. Overall, what's it like?
Well, it's just a little over $1.7 billion budget, but it is, as large as that sounds, it is down from last year by over $172 million. It's about a just shy 8.9% decrease from last year. So we are, we're continuing to try to right-size some of those different programs and keep the budget as tight as we can do that. There are some, and again, I want to be clear, it's not the budget yet. It is my recommendations, obviously.
Of course.
The Board of Supervisors will be reviewing this, but...
it's what you have presented.
That's right, yeah.
To the five-member board.
And
okay.
They, we're looking at some clear policy direction from the board initially that has really informed this budget, which is... that we will maintain a about 17% contingency fund the fund balance. It may sound like a lot, but when you're looking at an organization this size, we need those kinds of dollars in case there are major problems. It also provides us what we've always had, which is an outstanding credit rating. So when we need to go out for certificates of participation or something, we get a very good deal on that because we've kept the financial house in order.
How high a rating do we have? We have close to a top rating?
Yes, we do. For government agencies.
For a government,
that's
county,
correct.
And, yeah.
Very good shape. Another important policy is that the board has determined that they will pass through to taxpayers in Pima County cost shifts that have come to us from the state of Arizona. Often, I think the state budget gets balanced by shifting shares of expenditures back to the county. And this year that would be, it's about $15.9 million that were additional costs that shifted back. So that's shifting through. Had we left that without any response, it would have increased the tax rate by almost 16 cents. So we've accommodated that. We're continuing to focus on critical infrastructure. Roads remain a priority, as well as other necessary infrastructure. We no longer bond. We moved to the PAYGO system, so we pay for it as we go. And while most of the money, or a great deal of the money, had been focused on roads, as quite importantly, in the first few years, we are now making sure that all the critical infrastructure, your parks, the wastewater treatment facility, everything that may not be sexy and exciting, but it's critical to keep the government up and running, is part of that as well.
All right, Dylan, join our conversation.
Bill mentioned things are kind of cooling off outside, but thanks for coming in and taking a turn in the hot seat.
You bet. Absolutely.
You mentioned those cost shifts and the additional shift from what the legislature cut out and kind of transferred responsibility to the county this year's $15 million. Over the past decade, how much has that added up to? How much more are you having to cover because they are not doing it anymore?
Dylan, honestly, I don't know that. I'm happy to get that number back to Bill, but what is the 10-year?
It's a big number,
group?
Right?
It's a big number. Well, if it's $15 million this year, it was about $9 million, about $8 million last year. So if you figure in 2 years alone, we're at $23 million, and that's not a new phenomenon. So I'm guessing, you could maybe take five times that, and you see that we're getting into a pretty good number.
And how does this budget affect my property taxes this year?
We're looking at just shy of a 4-cent increase at this point. Again, part of that is we begin to look at maintaining that fund balance and also passing through that 16 cents. We are proposing about 3.9 cents, I think, is what we're looking at. And interesting that we can tells you what's going on with supply chain and cost of services and things when we can cut a budget by 9% or $172 million and still be looking at a 4-cent increase.
So that's
overall. You kind of change up some of the various rates as you pay off bonds. That goes down, but you're increasing the other rate to make up for that?
That's right. And then I'd say that 3.9 cent is all of the different funds. There's primary, excuse me, and secondary, as you know. Pardon me. Excuse me. But the when you look at the library district, debt service, flood control, some go up, some say the same, some stay the same. But I think people are less concerned about what each one of those items adds up to as they are about what's the overall net effect, which is the 3.9 yeah. cents.
Are you suffering from these allergies like every
home?
Sorry,
Dale.
What's the additional tax hit? You know, leaving aside that probably, you know, at least Zillow thinks my house is worth more than I think it is.
That's right. That's right.
And whatever the assessor comes in at. But what's the increase of on the average home?
I don't know the average home. I will tell you, I looked at my home, which is, I think of it as pretty average, quite frankly, and just, you know, I'm just me and the cats. and we're looking at an overall, I think you're looking at about a less than $400 over the year.
We had Pima County.
That puts it into context for me. Thank you.
Yeah, just as a simple house. Yeah.
We had Supervisor Steve Christie with us on the show yesterday, and Supervisor Christie is concerned about that the road repair money will be continuing. The pledge was made in 2019 to spend, I believe it was $225 million committed to a 10-year road repair program. He wants assurances that the pledge that was made to have basically all Pima County roads take a look at them and repair where necessary, that pledge will be guaranteed for the taxpayers.
Absolutely. And I think in the last couple of years, I think it's 3 years, we've done about 854 miles of roads. And by that's the full mill and fill, if you will, not just little repair or maintenance. The need to deal with the roads was so critical that when we looked at our initial program, it started at $5 million, went to $10, $15, and then continued at $25 million to get to that 10-year mark of $225 million. We front-loaded those dollars. So the first year, instead of $5 was at $15 million. And then we've had 3 years, the last 3 years, instead of $25 million, we've spent $50 million. So $150 million of the $225 was spent just in the last 3 years. What the Transportation Department is recommending, and we have included in this budget, is the absolute continued commitment to the roads, but that we need to focus for this upcoming year on maintenance. Our concern, if you will, is that we, spending that amount in those first few years, if we don't stop and make sure that we're maintaining the roads, we'll get back into the problem we were in before, which is that we were not continuing the maintenance. And so some of our staff point out, it's like if we bought a new car, we need to stop a minute and put some oil in the engine and keep the tires full so we don't have to just keep buying new cars. The proposal and the information that the Citizens Advisory Transportation Group has approved unanimously, and we have recommended in the budget, continues the absolute commitment that $225 million will be spent over the life of this project. But by putting 150 of it in those front years, we're just pausing it for a year. We're not really getting behind, because if we'd continued that original program, and we would have taken us 6 years at 25 million a year rather than the 3 years at 50 million. Mm. So we will continue to do road, mill, and fill. We've got about 20 million targeted for that. But we are, I think last year's was almost 70 million. Another piece of it is we need the maintenance. We need to keep that going. And maybe it gives us a little opportunity for some of the costs that are going into everyone's out buying goods. You know what's happening to the cost of services, so we can right size that a little bit. But Supervisor Christie is right in making us keep our eye really focused on that line, which is that we've told the community we would continue to fix the roads. It has been a pledge from Supervisor Christie and others in our board. We promised a 10-year program, and we are actually ahead of schedule.
Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, we are up against the Mona's Danish Bakery spot right now, but why don't you throw a quick question in, then we'll take the commercial break, because I know you've got a deadline coming up at, we're going to let you go at 12:30, so go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to need to sneak out and maybe make a pit stop at Mona's.
There you go.
Right up there. On the topic of roads, you know, we're spending a lot of money, work is getting done. Are we ever going to get ahead of the curve, though? Are we going to get to the point where we've taken care of maybe the vast majority of the backlog of problems and are just maintaining good roads?
I believe so. I do believe that that is going to happen. Dylan, the plan that we had, that 10-year plan, was to get, I believe the commitment is 80% of our roads at 80% or better, if you will, of a pavement index that actually goes out and really evaluates how good the roads are. We are, the commitment was that we would have 80% of our roads at that good or very good rating point, and we are on track with that. But that is why we take a year to focus a little bit on maintenance before we go back to the real work on the roads. Because, as I've said, if we don't continue maintenance, we'll be back in the repair mode. So we're hoping that we know that the plan that's been developed will allow us to not go backwards again. That's the real fear, obviously, and that's why we're recommending a little focus on maintenance. We shift back and spend the next 10 years really doing a big repair and don't keep up on the maintenance, we're right back where we started, as you point out, and that is not what this program is designed to do.
Okay, Dylan.
All right, thanks.
All right, let's pause right here and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Jan, I bet you could use something sweet right now, a nice cup of coffee and maybe a croissant, something like that.
I'm hoping Dylan brings it down to both of us. If he's stopping by,
I'm on my way.
Thank you.
All right. Mona's Danish Bakery open right now for a beautiful lunch. Of course, their signature breakfasts are wonderful. Open the doors at 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, Sunday, 7 o'clock in the morning. Be there early for the best selection. That's my advice about Mona's. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with Jan Lesher and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. They are open daily right over by the Brandy Fenton Park on River. 53rd year of business. And they have that wonderful Zocalo Village, all that wonderful pottery from Mexico, a lot of Talavera pottery. I think they've got the largest selection in the state. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Our telephone live line presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Joining us, our co-host guest reporter today is Dylan Smith, and he is on the live line. Dylan, editor, publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, and Jan Lesher is with me in studio. She is our Friday Focus interview. Humane Borders has been supported, their water stations, by the Pima County Board of Supervisors for many years. Is the support going to continue?
At least for next year. I'll tell you that much. I was actually looking up records and find, I think it was a motion by another chair, Grijalva, about 20 years ago when we started funding Humane Borders.
And when Reverend Hoover was very much involved and still around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's still around. He's a friend of mine. He's over, yes. But he's moved over to Albuquerque. But yeah, go ahead.
So they, but on this past Tuesday, just a couple days ago, on the 2nd of May, they approved $30,000 in next year's budget, as the board did, mm-hmm. to support Humane Borders at least for one more year.
Okay. All right. Dylan Smith, who is going to have to check out and move on to another appointment in a couple of minutes. So, Dylan, I'm going to let you ask a question or two before you say goodbye for the day.
Thank you. Jan Lesher, let's talk for a minute about another kind of social service issue. How is the county tackling the problem of homelessness right now, and you know, people being essentially priced out of their homes quite often, in addition to folks who have been more long-term unhoused? That's a problem all throughout our region.
Absolutely. And Dylan, we're looking at it in a variety of ways. And boy, I wish it's one thing I could say, here's what we're doing and it's going to be fixed in a couple of years, but that's just not what we're seeing. We've got, the board has created first a policy group and a working group that's looking at just addressing poverty. I see that as the, you know, sort of the top layer of the of this issue, because we've got to deal with what people are earning individually and increasing per capita income for individuals in our community to begin to address that problem. We then have another group that's really focused on affordable housing and how we can, how we work with that. We have, we began to not only try to figure out what policies need to change, but we are looking at how we can, how we utilize county land. For example, the commission, a citizens commission to try to focus on affordable housing has identified a handful of county-owned properties and is looking to go out to RFP to find people who want to come in and build affordable housing on those sort of pilot project, on a pilot project way on those lands. It's a very broad RFP so that we learn from people submitting their responses rather than dictating what's going to occur. But we will see the response to that and see how then we can step into that affordable housing world. The third element, and I think we got to address it, is what we're dealing with in that, in individuals on the street right now, and that there are, from my perspective and the things I'm seeing, there are folks out there who are very much involved in criminal activity. Fentanyl is all over our community. It's just, it's ubiquitous at this point. And we are trying to also look at that group, because in some of the information I've seen, it's as if they are using homelessness as a facade to be in the community and conducting illegal activities. And we have focused, we have a very strong partner with the city of Tucson. As we look at the initial days in the last 6 months or so, the city has done a lot in the homelessness, houseless world, renting some hotels, things like that. We began on the criminal justice side, if you will, looking at how we develop or modify pretrial services, or how do we expand our mobile units out at the adjacent to the jail. How do we provide wraparound services for when people get out of jail? And then how do we come together to address both ends of the bell curve, from the criminals on one end to the other end of the spectrum, where you have people who just need a little help to not be evicted right now, and then they'll be able to keep the good things going. A frightening part of this, Dylan, I got it. We had additional funds that were provided by the federal government for the last couple of years that were to prevent evictions during COVID. And we were able to provide the land, the homeowner or the building owner, the rent that the person leasing or renting a facility was unable to pay. So the income stream was coming to the small property owners. Individuals stayed in their home, and now those dollars are drying up. So how do we provide additional services to make sure that people once again aren't thrown out in the streets?
In addition to that program, the federal support for eviction prevention, there are a whole lot of other short-term federal programs that were spun up during the pandemic that are going away or have gone away or vanishing pretty soon. What are the other impacts to the services that the county has to provide or tries to provide from that?
I think that the one of the biggest ones you've seen is going to be the emergency rental program. Much of the other dollar, or many of the dollars that we've received to deal with the pandemic, were spent on the pandemic. We, as the public health agency for the region, we were providing a lot of support and services as people went through testing and vaccine and things. So millions went into that. Some of the dollars, we were very careful, Dylan, to make sure that we were using one-time money for one-time projects, so that we weren't committing ourselves and the board to projects in the future. But we've been looking at the addition of some of the buildings and things that were one-time expenditures. We have been working very hard to make sure that people don't step off that cliff in another year or so. So some of the business support, some of the programs that we were doing, other, as you mentioned, those programs that are in addition to rental assistance, we have been phasing out over the last year or so as we wound down, in effect, the pandemic. So we didn't have the same kind of problem. And I think the core of the issue that you're asking about, Dylan, is what happens when that spigot turns off? And are we prepared to accept that and to plan after it? And I believe we have done that. And so my worry, the program that scares me the most, is what happens to the individuals if they don't have the continuation of the emergency eviction rental program.
All right, Dylan, we will let you go. Thanks, Dylan.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thanks to you both. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Dylan, we'll look forward to you being in the host chair next Friday. Let's go on the live line. Caller Matt, waiting very patiently on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Matt, you're with Jan Lesher.
Yeah, Jan, really quickly, could you possibly try to address three things? One, the upcoming date for the end of Title 42. A lot of cities and counties are declaring emergencies that are border towns. Just any thoughts about our costs and expenses and what you've done to date on those issues. Second is, could you talk a little bit about the Sheriff's Department committee that's looking at the jail? Any updates there? And third, the water crisis. We don't have an AMA 2.0 for groundwater, but it's probably something that the Attorney General keeps pressing the governor to act on, and the Arizona Department of Water Resources to act on. I've heard that there are discussions about how counties would be involved in that. If you have any thoughts on that, too.
Sure. Good. Thank you.
He must have seen my show prep.
Those are you. Okay.
Those are three questions, three areas that I wanted to cover before we said goodbye for the day to you. So let's begin with the immigration issue.
May 11th is the day that it appears that 42 goes away. Title 42 is a public health initiative. So as we end the emergency declaration for COVID, it's probably appropriate that end. What it means, however, is that it takes a lot of time in meetings these days. I'll just tell you, we spent yesterday on a call with the Arizona Border County Coalition. It's four of the border counties, and we had individuals, representatives on the line from all of our delegation in Washington, the governor's office, et cetera. Everyone is focused on what we do that day. Currently, the county has been providing emergency assistance to legal asylum seekers since 2019. And I really want to be clear about that, because we do not work with Customs and Border Protection or any of the federal partners on individuals who have not just come across the border. If they've come across the border illegally, these are individuals who have been, they are in the custody of CBP and then released in our community. It's called street release. And our goal has been since 2019 to not have street release. So when people are brought into the community by Customs and Border Protection, they stay in this area an average of 72 hours before they move on into their final destination. We have been recently ramping up to see about 400 individuals a day, 400 to 500. We have estimated that would grow to 1,000 a day. And more recently, we've been hearing that with Title 42 going away, it could be up to 1,600 individuals a day.
Huge increase.
Yes. And what I think part of it is with the board, with Title 42 in place, people have been unable to cross that border. And of course, what we have, individuals are not coming from Mexico to the United States, they're coming through Mexico. So a lot of individuals have been, in fact, in queue, lining up behind the border in Mexico. So when the prohibition for their entrance goes away, they will be coming in, and we think in fairly extraordinary numbers. Whether it's going to go back to low numbers soon or not, we don't know. But we are having to prepare for those larger numbers of the up to 1,600. When we are running at the maybe 400 a day, the cost is about $1.8 million per month. All of the money has been and continues to be provided by the federal government. We have a great partnership. We receive emergency funding from the federal government through the Department of Homeland Security, and that's how we're able to keep this up and going. We're not using it's Pima County taxpayers, but not their tax to Pima County. It's what they're paying to the federal government coming back. So I think that's important as well. We have added a new facility. We lease a couple of facilities. We are ramping up transportation contracts. We're doing everything humanly possible to make sure that we have things in place for those expanded numbers.
All right, Jan Lesher, we're going to take a break right here. We will answer Matt's two other questions dealing with an update on the Blue Ribbon Commission that has been looking at perhaps a new jail for Pima County. Also water, of course, which has really, it's like it's moved up, I think, on the as far as most people's radar as being one of the top issues certainly facing us in Arizona. Okay, let's take a break. Then we'll have more with Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Wow, this hour really goes fast. Buckmaster Show, we've got our Friday Focus interview with Jan Lesh here, a Pima County Administrator. Our thanks to Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, joining in at the beginning of the program. Also thanks to caller Matt, who brought up three issues we addressed at the close of our last segment, the ending of the Title 42, which is coming up in just a few days. The next issue that Matt and I both wanted addressed, we heard about a Blue Ribbon Commission. Danny Sharp was like heading up that, the former
chairing
it from Oro Valley, former police chief. What's the update on this look at, do we need a new Pima County jail?
They are, the Blue Ribbon Commission has 180 days to begin to really evaluate this. They've got a little more time, but they are doing a lot of homework, and they're spending time touring the facilities and such. This began a few months ago when Sheriff Nanos came to the board and asked for the funding to build a new jail. And while it was not successful at that time, a tax increase is always tough.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or since. So we began to look at how do we, when I say, let us evaluate if we need a new jail. To me, that means a couple of things. New from the actual physical plant. Is it falling apart? Is the building okay?
Like, are we going to tear down the other one and build a new one?
Okay. Do you need the whole kit and caboodle? And then the other part is the program.
Right.
Of new methods of operations, new standards in an industry to make sure that are there different ways in which the facility needs to be laid out, programs, et cetera. So the committee, there's only 10 people on it. We tried to keep it small so they could really not just implode on the weight of a very large commission, but they have a finance group, operations, and facilities. They're out looking at just the building itself, what might it need. From an operational programmatic sense, are we building a jail that is going to accommodate the way that the community is responding to incarceration and the things that are needed in a jail? And then finally, how do we finance it? Many counties have a jail district. There's just other ways to do it. Any way you look at this, Bill, the numbers I've been hearing are anywhere from about $250 million to $500 million. So it is a significant event, and we want some of the smart folks to look at that. So Danny Sharp, as you mentioned, former Oro Valley Police Chief, is chairing it. We have individuals who have worked for the jail in the past and are familiar, individuals from Public Defense Services, the community, shunt construction, just to give us a good idea of what's going on. What do we need? When might we need it? And how are we going to pay for it?
So, of course, still being on the table would be an upgrade, fixing it up.
Absolutely.
I mean, that would seem like it would be the possible solutions. Mm-hmm. Of course, I guess you could say, well, we're not going to do anything. But then the easiest fix would be, here's what it would take to bring this facility up to standards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's one of the first things they're really looking at, that facilities group. What do they need?
All right. What about water?
And then, well,
or do you have something else to say about the jail?
No, that was fine with me.
All right.
Fine. But,
what about water? Everybody's worried about it.
We've developed a water working group and are really looking at that. We do not have a water utility. We're not the city, but we run the wastewater side of the house. So that's something we're looking at. But we're beginning to understand what we need to do, or what we might recommend to the board to address so many issues. What does our zoning code look like? What does the development standards look like? Do we have the right economic development policies? Because we want to make sure we are not encouraging businesses to relocate that are heavy water users. And looking at the overall policy countywide, and then how are we behaving internally? But a little bit like the Blue Ribbon Commission, there's the short, middle, long-term goals. We can start addressing how we are using water now and conservation efforts, et cetera. But what do we need to do to begin to look 5, 10, 15 years down the road? Bill, you and I were here when they began the discussions of the Central Arizona Project and whether that was going to even happen or not.
Yes.
And, you know, here's what our age is showing, Bill. But that, so what does that next iteration look like? Can we accommodate the amount of water that's going to be coming into the community? Are we using it correctly? What do we need to do? So I try to always start with let's know what the facts are, let's know what the data is, use that as our foundation, and then work with the other jurisdictions in the area and our board to establish policy for the valley.
It's like so many things, Jan, when we reflect on our long term service to this area. We didn't talk about these things in the 90s. We had the Central Arizona Project, and we just thought that the faucet would go on forever. Even 5 years ago, we weren't really worried that much about it, although the warning signs were there. I can remember doing stories 20 years ago with some of the tree ring people at the university and saying, you know, this could be a mega drought, like something we haven't seen from 1,000 years ago, and it may be turning out to be true.
Well, and we had CAP, and then we went through, I think maybe late 80s, early 90s, where it seemed like the one issue in the community was water.
Yeah.
And then whether we were dealing with recharge or how all of that sort of shifted, and then we focused on transportation.
Yeah.
And then while everybody was talking about the roads the last several years, water wasn't on people's radars.
Yeah.
And I think it's coming, you know, back up clearly. And I think how do we take advantage of opportunities, even if they're bad ones? I think right now, as you know, the horrific floods of the early 80s had us refocus on developing a flood district that made sure that homes didn't fall in the rivers anymore. And the upshot of that was creative use of parts of our flood district, our flood control district, resulted in the loop. Because we just we have to put all these places down. Let's put something on top of them. So a lot of creative thinking going into those kinds of efforts.
One item in my stack of stuff that about DM, the future of Davis Mountain, of course, such a huge player in our area. It looks like there will be a pretty good solution to the replacement for the A-10. Looks like there will be something called a new power projection wing that eventually the A-10s will go away, but what replaces it won't be the big F-35s or whatever, but there will be a wing that's going to come in, whether it's rescue missions, or I'm not quite sure what the mission is, but bottom line, looks like we won't lose personnel.
There may be a few lost, but I think it will ramp right back up. Community partnership that the DM has had in meetings and the structured meetings with the community, it's been going on for a decade or so. But we had a meeting yesterday with community leadership, the base to get a get caught up on what's occurring, and it was just a really good time for. I was there, others from the city of Tucson, VA, the delegation. How do we really focus on ensuring that it was talked about as a community partnership, mm-hmm. and a lot of discussion about the partnership. And frankly, I was saying I don't. It's not a partnership in that we're one and the same.
you know,
one is not an appendage to the other. Mm-hmm. That I think mm-hmm. DM is such a critical core of this community in so many mm-hmm. ways mm-hmm. That it's important that we continue to work with them. Yes, do we want DM to accommodate noise and flights over the community? But we've done a lot as a county working with the base. One of the biggest ways Pima County avails itself of federal dollars available, and we have been assisting DM in dollars they bring to the table to acquire land mm-hmm. to make sure we don't have continued encroachment so that whatever mission might want to come into Pima County area can be accommodated. And I think much effort going on with that. DM is such an important driver in this community, so we are excited to be at the table with them in this conversation.
And the economic future, you believe, still is strong for this area?
I do. I think, like anything, there's ups and downs.
Sure.
I think growing up in the valley here, we always thought the one thing that would never go down is the value of land. And then we hit, the 2008, 2009, and saw mm-hmm. a dip unlike mm-hmm. we'd seen. We're starting to come back up out of that. And I think, again, another year or two that might not be as rosy as we would like, but I think soon we'll be digging out of that.
All right, Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator, good to see you. Jan, we'll look forward to getting you back on the show this summer. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Friday. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
And that music, oh, it's music to my ears. Signals, Let's Do Another Weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Springtime over in the Land of Enchantment. Boy, I'm liking these temperatures I'm seeing over there. Upper 70s for the weekend. There's even a couple of low 80s. And we always say, especially reinforce it this time of year, say it's 100 in Tucson, we can pretty much guarantee upper 80s, around 90 in Silver City because of that mile-high elevation. So, you know, it's about 5,500 feet, and it's only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. And the best place to start your planning, southwestnewmexico.org. That's their website. All sorts of recreation ideas like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and also suggestions on great places to stay and dine as well. Speaking of places to eat and thinking about dining, here is the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Bill. Just having a hard time squeezing into these chaps for the festivities tonight for Cinco de Mayo. As you well know, I think they fit a little better last year. I don't know what happened.
Well, here's what happens, and we've gone through this with a lot of your different kind of thematic outfits. You say, well, it was, you don't know what happened. It was sent to the dry cleaners. And you definitely kicked the can down the road by saying, well, I just don't know what happened. How did I gain that extra weight? I mean,
guilty as charged. That's exactly what happened.
It is Cinco de Mayo, my wedding anniversary. I chose a date that would be pretty easy to remember, I guess, right?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I say, you know, the planets have aligned and the calendar has cooperated because finally Cinco de Mayo is on a Friday. Bill,
yes.
I can't contain, you know, my enthusiasm. So, you know, here's just a few ideas for celebrating Mexico's victory in the Battle of Puebla in 1862, if you've done your history lesson. So Playground on Congress Street downtown, they're going to be hosting a fiesta tonight with live music from Mariachi Luz de Luna on the rooftop, Mexican beer specials, discounts on tamarindo margaritas, carne asado tacos. At all of the El Charo cafes and C Charo concepts, you're going to get half off margaritas, Coronas, and Modelos. And up at Blanco and La Encantada, Bill, check out their creative rounds of margaritas, buckets of beer, limited edition cocktails, and of course their signature guacamole. You know, it's not clear if the guacamole actually comes in buckets too, but if I'm going up there, it better. So have fun tonight, Cinco de Mayo, and be responsible. Find a designated driver.
Any suggestions for Derby Day?
Yeah, you know, when you shake off your Cinco on Saturday morning, it's time to prepare for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. The 149th run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby, the Cork on Tancredi, which is under new ownership, they're going to be celebrating with a Derby party. There's going to be some Derby Day drink specials, some special bites from the Cork's kitchen, along, of course, with their signature steaks, and a Derby hat contest for a chance to win a gift certificate to the Cork. I haven't seen the menu yet, but I'm thinking mint juleps might be the order of the day. My mouth is watering, so head over to the Cork tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
How about celebrating the culture of corn?
Yeah, you know, food festivals always rank high on my weekend watch list. This weekend is a collaborative partnership with four cities, Tucson, San Antonio, and two Mexico cities, Merida and Puebla. It's Pueblos del Maíz, as you said, a celebration of the culture of corn. The festivities will include regional food vendors and chef demonstrations, live music, educational panels, all celebrating the rich traditions of maíz. So it's maíz madness all weekend long. All the activities can be found at pueblosdelmaiz.com.
Lots to do this weekend. Matt, always a pleasure. Matt Russell, appreciate everything you do for our program through the years. Thank you.
My pleasure indeed, Bill. Thanks.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about some of the people we want to thank here. And we want to thank definitely Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineer and producer of our program. We want to thank the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson for all of their support. Of course, I want to thank my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Our friend, Christophan, our German friend, composed the beautiful theme music for the Buckmaster Show. And the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. I hope you have a lovely weekend.